Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God, part 2. Romans chapter 1. We'll do this evening like we did this morning. We read through the text on verse 22 through 24. Then we'll go back and we'll talk about each verse. Okay? Romans 1:22. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You, asking for Your guidance as we look into Your Word. Lord, speak to us through Your Word. Help us to understand and to take it to heart, that through this study we may be drawn nearer to You and strengthened in our relationship with You. Father, we do pray for this world that we live in, for our country. I pray for revival, that You would turn hearts towards You once again, that we might be a nation who would honor You. Now, Lord, we pray Your will be done in this service this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this portion of our study, as I said this morning, is the wrath of God. Tonight's part two, or finishing what we started this morning. And just kind of a quick review about what we talked about this morning. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go watch the message online. But we'll do a quick review, and that is that what brings mankind into a position of the wrath of God, and that being the clear evidence of God, that it's plain to see, for anyone to see, that God exists. When you deny that, you're brought into that position of the wrath of God, because, as it said in previous verses, that they did not glorify God as God. They were not thankful to God for His blessings. Instead, they chose to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The result of that is that when you refuse or reject God, the result of that is to become futile in our mind or in our thoughts, unable to think logically. Hearts will be darkened, unable to tell right from wrong. And when you're not capable of logical thought, when you do not know right from wrong, the decisions that you make will be catastrophic. That's where we are. Now we continue this progression in verse 22, where it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Have you noticed the claim of those who reject God is wisdom? They tell us we're wise. We're smarter than you. Let us take care of you. I mean, after all, we know what's best. They look at the Christian today as being just a poor, uneducated people who do not know any better. That's how the world paints you and myself. And I think it's very sad, because quite frankly, God is very clear everywhere you look. I was listening to another video in an interview at UC Berkeley. And in this video, the college students were asked one very simple one-line question. And that was, how many genders are there? I'll say that again. How many genders are there? These are college students, educated. What they're being taught They reflected. They answered that question. One student said 82. Another student said 15. Another student said 8. Another student said, it's infinite. So I looked it up on the internet to find out what the real answer was. You'll be glad to know I came away from what I found on the internet very informed, to put it mildly. They listed the genders for us, and I think there are 16 in this list that they listed. And I'll share them with you. I don't know what they mean. I don't care to know what they mean. But the genders listed were agender, androgender, or androgen gender, bigender, butch, cisgender, gender expansive, gender fluid, gender outlaw, gender queer, masculine of center, non-binary, omnigender, polygender, transgender, and two-spirit gender. Don't ask me to explain any of them. But this is what's coming out of our colleges. These are the ones who say, we're wise, listen to us. Now listen, I know I'm a dumb old country boy. And I've always accepted Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. That's two. What's wrong with those who think there are so many genders? Go back up to the points we made this morning. They can't think. It concerns me about our government position on the economy today. In that the government's idea, I suppose, is let us take care of you. Their thought is we can just print more money. We have unlimited resources to send out checks and pay people not to work. Once again, me and my simplicity of thought, God is the only one that has unlimited resources. Personally, if I write checks my bank account can't support, I get in trouble. They can't think. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And I will be honest, I'm not prophesying anything. I don't know what the future is. But somewhere in the future, something has to give. We can't keep cashing checks that our economy can't support. But the result of it is a result of not being able to think clearly, because we have dismissed God from society. Not only is there an inability to think, professing to be wise, they become fools, but they've changed, verse 23, they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image like corruptible man. That word change, it means to exchange, trade one thing for another. And what he's talking about there, he's talking about trading the real God for idol gods. We've given up the real God that built this country, that blessed this country, and we've exchanged it for idols. See, the great thing about an idol is, if you create an idol, then you create the rules or the standards of that idol. We live in a culture that worships a lot of things other than the real true God. Culture that worships sex to the point you can't watch TV anymore because you don't need to see what's on there. I've mentioned before, I've seen every Andy Griffith episode that was ever made multiple times. When I watch TV, Beth asks, "You've seen that?" I know, honey, but there's nothing else to watch. Because there's things I don't want to, nor do I need to see. Because sex has become so prevalent, so worshipped in this society. It's why we dress up our 12-year-old girls to make them look like they're 21. We've made it an idol. Our culture worships money. It's all about how much you can get. And I, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having money. You know, we all want to do as well as we can possibly do. However, I find it really sad that the driving force behind most people is money. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. Okay? Please don't cut the limb off. One of the biggest idols that we have in our modern day culture is cell phones. I've got one. Okay? I've got one. But the sad thing about cell phones is we would never consider laying them aside for an hour, turning them off for a day. Instead, we check our Facebook account every hour, at least once an hour. We never go a day without posting on Instagram or tweeting on Twitter. I don't even know how to tweet on Twitter to be. And it's come to the point, but it's come to the point where everywhere people are, our face are buried into our phones. As a result, you say, "Oh, Brother Doug, it's not, I don't worship my phone." Well, let me ask you this. When's the last time you turned it off? "Well, Brother Doug, I'm really important. What if somebody needs to get a hold of me?" Do you realize that we survived hundreds or thousands of years without a cell phone? You see, we'll never go a day without Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. But we will go days without prayer. Days without Bible study. We will go weeks, months, sometimes even years without attending church. But we can't do without a cell phone. Now listen, I have a phone. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. If you want your pastor to know something, you better call him. Don't expect me to find it on Facebook. Because I don't spend much time there. And I do not plan on changing. I love you, okay? But I'm not going to check Facebook every hour. You see, my point being this. God has given us the ability to choose, or the opportunity to choose, the God that we desire. See, that's where we give glory to God, when we choose God. He's given us that ability, but we must understand what it means to choose the real God. When we choose God for who He is as the Creator of the universe, the authority of the universe, the one to be worshipped, honored, and reverenced, when we make God, God, then that means you must surrender yourself to His righteousness. Okay? Not my way, His way. Not my desire, His desire. Not my will, Thine be done. The sad part about it is the world pushes everything to try to replace God. And there will never be joy or satisfaction in anything apart from God. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm not here to tell you tonight, throw your phone away. I'm not, okay? I'm here tonight to to remind all of us that we choose. And the challenge is choose God. Because failure to choose God puts us in that position of the wrath of God. And I want to look at verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Do you realize this is the wrath of God? Okay? Say, Brother Doug, I thought the wrath of God is fire and brimstone, you know, and God wiping people out. Yes, that too. However, God has set certain spiritual laws in motion. If you do one thing, it results in another. For example, what I'm talking about is Galatians 6, 7, and 8, where it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You get what you plant. Okay? Now, if your life is about pursuing God, honoring God as God, making Him the God of your life, you will reap the rewards or reap the harvest of making that choice. But if you choose to deny God, if you choose to suppress God's truth in unrighteousness, there is a result. And I said this morning, this was answering the question of where we are as a nation. We look around and we see the catastrophes, the school shootings. We see the lawlessness, the riots. We see the demonstrations and the uprisings because of ethnicity. Do you ever ask why? Why are these things happening? The reason they're happening is because we're a nation who have turned from God. You see, I believe that this country is blessed because this country was built upon a godly foundation. I do remember those days, and it hasn't been that long ago, when people honored God. I'm talking about even unchurched people, that nobody would dare publicly blaspheme or denounce or disrespect God's name. I remember that. This is a generation that has not, you know, our kids coming up today, they're a generation who have never seen that reverence and that respect. Because we've turned from God. I believe that God has built a hedge around this nation. But I believe that God has removed the hedge. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And it goes back to the choice. God has given this nation a choice. And we've chose to go without God. I also believe that God has blessed this country because we have stood with Israel. We have the promise of God's Word. You bless Israel, God blesses you. I see that quickly changing as we're abandoning Israel. And I fear we're going to abandon them even farther in the future with our current government. And Brother Doug, what do you do about it? Well, the problem is we've exchanged God for all these other things. Brother Doug, what do? It's very simple. I can't control what's going on in Congress. I can't control what's going on outside these walls. I can't even control you. You know what I can control? I can control me. It's got to start somewhere. It starts with me. This preacher, Doug Hambrick, this individual making the right choice, choosing to honor God in every aspect of my life. Okay? If it starts with me, then hopefully it will spread to others. Hopefully it will spread throughout this church, throughout our families, to other families outside this church as they experience the wages of sin and they see what it's done to their lives and they look at God's people and say, that's what I want, that's what I need. But it's got to start here with me. And that's the challenge that I want to leave you with tonight. Let it start with me. I want you to understand this. These messages are not political. Not here to bash a president or any member of Congress. I'm not. I'm simply here to reveal God's truth. We're where we are because we have chosen to be where we are as a nation. The only way out is revival. Let revival start with me. And I can look around and I can talk about everybody and, you know, everything that's wrong in everybody else's life. But I can't control everybody else. I control me. So let that revival start in me. Let me pray. God, revive me. Set me on fire. Lord, change me. Renew me. Lord, fix me. And if I pray that, if that's my prayer, and if that's your prayer, I promise you, God will answer a prayer like that. Challenge tonight. Choose God. Choose God. Challenge to those who, you know, I realize that I'm preaching to the choir because we're in agreement. You know, we believe that God is God. But we've got to get on fire about that fact. You know? So that's our challenge this evening. That's our prayer. Lord, send revival. Let it begin with me. Not everybody else. Not pointing the finger about those people or these people or those. Lord, revive me. You may be here tonight. And that's your prayer. Because you've wondered. It's a great night for rededication. You may be here tonight and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you, Jesus gave His life for you. He paid for all of your sins so that you could have eternal life simply by asking. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't even deserve it. All you can do is receive it. Tonight, I want to ask you, will you receive Jesus? Whatever your spiritual need is, this invitation is for you. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we praise You. And we are reminded how often we become lukewarm. Lord, stir our fire. Stir my fire. For I know that the only hope for our nation is revival. Let that revival start in me. Give me a burden for the lost. Give me a concern for those who have fallen by the wayside. Revive my heart, Lord. And work Your mighty works in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you stand?